Welcome to the Foundations of Learning podcast. I hope to inspire you to actively participate in your child's learning journey, fostering a love for knowledge and nurturing the skills necessary for success in a rapidly changing world.
Welcome back to the Foundations of Learning. I'm your host, Shaylee Flint. Today, I'm going to talk about Pennsylvania. I recently saw an article that talked about how schools won't be required to adopt the science of reading. Well, why not? Now, I kind of knew why, because I know how districts work, because I was an educator myself and I worked in public schools. And so I do know how some of the budgets work. However, I was very interested by this article. We know the science of reading can help 95% of children to effectively learn how to read and write. We have decades of neuroscience on this topic. And unfortunately, there are still a lot of schools that are using the balanced literacy approach. There are a lot of amazing teachers out there that even if you are not required, right, to learn new things, new strategies, whatever, you will go on that journey yourself and you will learn how to effectively teach reading on your own. Now, that is sad because now teachers have to spend their own money. They have to spend their own money on like the resources that they might be purchasing to go along with what they are teaching. They also are spending their own money on trainings and things like that so that they can better themselves. However, I have worked with educators as well that are like, look, I've been doing what I've been doing for the last 20 years. Seems to work okay. I'm not going to change anything. And unless they're required to, they don't. And that is kind of the sad reality of how things work. So let's get into this. Pennsylvania, why in the world are you not wanting your students to effectively learn how to read and write? It's a little bit concerning, especially with the fact that only 33% of our nation's fourth graders can read proficiently. So this is a quote from the article. It says, legislation that would have required schools starting in the 25-26 to use evidence-based reading curricula, train teachers in structured literacy, an approach that emphasizes explicit instruction and skills such as phonics, and screen all children in kindergarten through third grades for reading deficiencies wasn't among the many measures in a state budget filled with new education initiatives. The changes were estimated to cost $67.5 million, according to one of the bill sponsors. Because the changes will cost money, lawmakers will have to wait until next year's budget cycle to pass new requirements for reading instruction, said the sponsor, Representative Jason Ortate. He's a Republican from Washington. I think it wasn't just high enough on the priority list, Ortate said in an interview this week. I'm going to have to get my colleagues in the House and administration to see the light of how important this is. It's interesting that we have a Republican representative, right, that is stating, hey, guys, like, this is important. We need to be putting this into the budget. And it's funny that the district's like, or the state's like, it's going to cost us too much money. So therefore, like, we can't do it. I'm going to talk about a little bit why this is a problem. So more than likely, if they're saying that, well, we're not going to require our districts or schools to learn about the science of reading and structured literacy, that would make me assume that they are still taking a balanced literacy approach. Now, this is from the article because, like I said, what are they teaching? Why are they still teaching that way? Like, what are we doing here? We have decades of research. So in the article, it describes it perfectly. It says, yet for years, the philosophy underpinning many schools' instruction has been that children can learn to read relatively naturally. Now, this decades of research that we have shows that most kids actually cannot read or learn to read relatively naturally. It is not a natural thing that our brain can do. We can listen, we can speak. That is a natural thing that our brains were wired to do. But in the way that we read and write today, that is not natural for our brain. We actually are rewiring a child's brain when we teach them to read effectively. We know with neuroscience that it's not true. The approach derived from the theory balanced literacy, which focuses more on independent reading than skills instruction. So basically, the whole idea on balanced literacy is, unfortunately, there's a lot of guessing that happens. Like, you literally teach kids to guess words based on pictures, based on context clues, and so on. You're not giving them any skill or way to even figure out what that word says. It's just hopefully you can read enough independently that eventually you will memorize words and understand what that word is and the meaning of the word and so on, just from simply reading. Now, I'm not saying that some kids can't learn to read that way. Some kids do. Some kids have a great memory. They can literally, they just pick it up, okay? And they can do that. But it is such a small percentage of kids that you wouldn't want to use this strategy to try to educate the masses to teach them to read and write. So growing attention to the disconnect between reading research and schools teaching practices has propelled a science of reading movement that has won support from groups such as the NAACP, which has framed literacy as a civil rights issue. Now, like I had said in the beginning, only 33% of fourth graders were proficient in reading last year. You're probably wondering, what do these tests look like? Like, what exactly are they testing them on, right? Like, maybe it's a crap test and it just doesn't really even tell us that much information. And so who really cares, right? So I was very interested to know, what does that grade four look like? Because as an educator, I've actually never taught fourth grade. So I've never given the state exams with a fourth grader, right? I've done the younger kids, like the kindergarten, first grade, second grade. With that testing, it is sort of similar to the grade four, but grade four is just way more complex. In the younger grades, they're going to be given a grade level text, you know, patterns that they should know essentially, or it's a, you know, at their level, and they have to read the text. We will identify like their accuracy and then also identify their rate. So like how fast can they read? And then we also look at their comprehension. So we do ask them certain questions at the end. And really those questions are more for like main idea and key details. So like you get the highest score if you can provide what's the main idea and 3 to 4 key details of the story in order, right? So if they can do that and they can read a certain amount of words with a certain amount of accuracy in 1 minute, then they can score very high, right? So that's kind of what the older grades are, or younger grades are looking at. But then as they get older, so as we go into grade four, it becomes a little bit more complex. So essentially they're given a story and they're given a poem. And within this, they have 30 minutes to complete it. So they have 30 minutes to read the story, read the poem, and to answer like 10 questions, okay? Some of which are multiple choice and some of which are a written question. So they have to write about it. Within these questions, some of them are pretty simple. Recognize the reason related to the plot. What was the character's motivation? Recognizing text-based generalization. Interpret descriptive phrases. So they're really looking to it like, can you identify the meaning of a word based on the context? And then also evaluating like characters and opinions. And you have to provide different quotes from the text essentially to prove your point. So it is a lot more complex. So the children have to, I was actually looking because you can do a practice test on the NAEP's website. And I was looking at like what the stories are like, what the poems are like. And basically, if your child does not understand the English language by grade four, they're screwed. They will not be able to read this text. It will be very, very hard for them to read it and then let alone comprehend it. And so if your child is a slower reader, then they are going to struggle with this test. And you can see that with multiple choice questions, because those are generally easier, right? The multiple choice questions, the kids do okay-ish, because it does have, as far as 2019 goes, on some of them they got like, you know, 60 so percent of the kids got it correct. And then when you get to the written ones, you have like 30% of kids being able to do it, 27% of kids being able to do it. So it significantly drops. So the kids are able to maybe read a story and maybe, you know, maybe some of them guess correctly. Maybe some of them do understand it. Or when you are given a multiple choice question, it's just a lot easier. When I'm looking at this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I was a first grade teacher and I'm thinking about these first graders that I had. They have 4 years to master the English language. You need to have mastered understanding context, understanding, inferring, all of these complex skills. Okay. Not just comprehension. Tell me about what the story is about. Not even that. Like you have to be able to infer, to kind of guess what somebody's opinion might be based on the context of the text and be able to express that. And then you have to get parts of the text to support your answer, right? So there's so much that they have to do within this. And if they can't read at grade level, which unfortunately, I've talked to a lot of fourth grade teachers and they were talking to a lot of us first and second grade teachers and even third grade teachers on how do I teach phonics to my students because they cannot read fourth grade passages. They can't read them. We have this problem happening within our nation, and I saw it not only, I've worked at two different districts, and I've seen it in both districts. This is a problem everywhere. It's not just this isolated problem. You're saying that it's like, oh, it's not in the budget. It's too expensive this year for us to even, you know, I feel like teaching reading and math and writing and in a very effective way because we have a problem in our nation should be your number one priority. How can we flip around different things within the budget, even if you're like, well, we don't have it in the figure out where you can find it in the budget. I don't know. Superintendents making $300,000 a year. I'm sorry, not necessary. Administrators making $120,000 a year. Most of their job is just figuring out budget, and they sit in their office and sometimes they have to talk to parents and help with different behavior things that are going on in the school. But for the most part, they are always in meetings, always. And it's always with the uppers in the district. So superintendent, things like that. You don't see them at the school very often. More often than not, they're not there. Let's take some money from there. I don't know, to maybe help the kids and get them reading and writing and math. I don't know. That's just a thought there. So then I was interested and I was like, all right, how is money spent in education? Now, working in the districts, I saw with my own two eyes how things were spent and being told that you're printing too much paper and we need to save money on that because, you know, you just need to watch how much paper you're spending. You're using too many glue sticks. And then at the end of the year, all of a sudden they're like, hey, we have all this extra money, and if we don't spend it, then we're going to lose it. So like, what do you need? And you're like, I don't know, maybe not to be told how much paper I'm printing. The way that the budgets are done and everything is just ridiculous in that way. And then the amount of money I saw spent at the district offices, I am sorry, but like I said, that doesn't do anything for the students. I did not see any money that's being spent at the district helping my students in my classroom learn how to read. The only thing that actually mattered on whether or not my students are going to know how to read is if I was properly educated on how to teach my students to read and I had the resources to help them do so. That is where the majority of money needs to go, right? Is to the kids for the resources. The teachers need to be properly trained. That is what needs to happen. And unfortunately, I graduated college in 2019. I had a total of 4 literacy courses throughout my entire college education. I had weird courses that were on like diversity and things like that, which I'm going to be honest, wasted time. I didn't need to do that. Okay. I was not properly taught how to teach reading. I was taught balanced freaking literacy. In 2019, we were fully aware. There were like people in 2013, okay, pushing for the science of reading approach. And in 2019, in my college, I was taught balanced literacy. So our universities are failing the teachers. Then you go to the school district and they don't even care enough to make sure that you're properly educated. So there are so many levels where these kids are being failed. So anyways, that was my rant. When you look at the typical school expenditures, now it can kind of differ from like district to district and school to school because Title I schools get different types of funding and you have funding that has to go to certain things and so on and so forth. But on average, as a nation, it's around like $15,000 or $15,000 to $16,000, which is pretty wild that that's how much we spend per pupil. But when you look at where this money goes, salaries and benefits make up a combined 80% of school spending. Right now, there are a lot of educators out there that they can't afford to live on their own because they aren't making enough money. Now, I understand that we as a nation, a lot of people are struggling with that, not just educators, it's everywhere, right? Because of inflation and things like that. And our salaries across the board, not just educators, everywhere, are not keeping up with inflation. Therefore, everyone is feeling that pain, right? Every year, like, we got to get the teachers a raise. And I get it. You know, we need to make sure we're paying our educators a proper salary. However, at what point do we say we need to spend more money on the kids or like the training for teachers to make sure that we are providing them with the very best instruction for reading, writing, and math? Because that should be our only goal, really, in education is, can they read? Can they write? Can they do math? Can they think? Can they comprehend? Can they debate? Can they have conversation? Can they, like, do they have their own thoughts and opinions? Can they, like, right? Like, there's all of these things that they need to be able to do. And for some reason, what's always on the minds is like, we need to pay the teachers more. We're missing the point, my guys. We're missing the point. As you look at the culture in the United States and what's happening in schools and what these big pushes are in schools with different things like critical race theory and gender ideology and equity, inclusion, and all of these other things, we are teaching all of these random ideologies when our kids can't read, our kids can't write, our kids can't do math. It is honestly insane how much illiteracy costs taxpayers every single year. If you are illiterate, that means that more than likely you are going to be below the poverty line. When you are below the poverty line, you usually are getting more state assistance, which means that we are spending more money on that, right? So there's like this factor that happens, or this domino effect that happens when we don't teach kids to read, and then whew, ripple effect, right? And not only that, but like, if you cannot read, how are you going to think for yourself? How are you going to learn? How are you going to get information and be able to do your own research to identify whether or not the information you're getting is correct, right? Like, there are so many impacts for reading. So there was a new study done by Gallup on behalf of the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy that low levels of adult literacy could be costing the US as much as $2.2 trillion a year. According to the U.S. Department of Education, 54% of U.S. adults 16 to 74 years old, so that's about 130 million people, lack proficiency in literacy. They are reading below the equivalent of a sixth grade level. So what I urge you to do is say sixth grade reading level passage. Just Google it. 54% of people can't read it. That's awful. People that are illiterate can be taken advantage of more often than those that are not. This is a real problem. And the fact that right now, 67% of fourth graders cannot proficiently read a text, comprehend what was said, infer, provide opinions based on what they had read, that is a problem. So who gives a crap about all the other stuff that we're like, we need gender ideology and we need critical race theory and we need, and these are civil rights issues. No, the fact that they can't read is a freaking civil rights issue, and that's what you need to spend your time and energy on. Everything else is distraction. I don't even know at this point, but it doesn't matter. I go down rabbit holes as I do. And I was wondering, like, how much money is actually spent on this other stuff when our kids can't read? Like, how much money is actually spent? So Parents Defending Education, they did some deep dives that are quite intriguing. They were looking at philanthropic organizations and how much money they were actually spending or giving to public schools for things like critical race theory, gender ideology, and all of this stuff. However, it is under the guise of the three, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion. They had found that there was about $200 million given to 70 different school districts in 4 years, which she goes on to say, like, there's some in Florida, there were some in like California and different places like that, but kind of all over the United States. And these were the five that they found, and they were actually looking at, I guess they had gotten from the Freedom Information Act, tax filings and public documents. And that's actually where they found the $200 million that was given to them. And this included the Gates Foundation, Chan Zuckerberg Initiative related to Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, the Wallace Foundation, the Kellogg Foundation related to the Kellogg cereal manufacturing company, the Windward Fund, which is tied to Arabella Advisors, which they're quoting is one of the notorious dark money groups of the progressive left. So when you're looking to at like the Gates Foundation and you're looking, they literally, like, the head guy of the Gates Foundation was saying that the way we're going to make a difference in education is through diversity, equity, and inclusion, and creating these awesome relationships with the students. My dudes, teach them how to freaking write, teach them how to read, teach them how to do math. That should be your job. That's it. Once they know how to read, they know how to write, and they know how to do math, they're pretty set. It's really so simple. But yet we're spending all this time and energy on stuff that just doesn't matter. When you look at this 20-year change, they literally say, like, okay, what scores changed from 2019? What about a 10-year change? What about a 20-year change? Most of the states in a 20-year change, we've gone down. Our scores have gone down in 20 years. Some have just stayed the same, and maybe a couple have gone up by like a percent. What are we doing? 20 years of just doing the same old, hoping that things change. How did we get here? There's a podcast, like it's a pretty old podcast with Jordan Peterson, and I think he's like on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he's really talking about, I think Joe Rogan had asked him, how do like these tyrannical governments or whatever, how do they get people to accept certain things that are just honestly wild to accept, right? And he was talking about how it doesn't happen all at once, right? They're going to do it little by little by little by little. They're going to, you know, get you to a point where it's just almost across the line, but you're willing to accept it. It's not as annoying yet, right? You're like, okay, fine, whatever. And then you get used to it, you accept it as normal, and then they push a little further. And then they do it again. I just have to wonder if there is some sort of agenda as to why they don't want kids reading, writing, and doing math. So all I want to say is, teachers, do your own due diligence. I know it freaking sucks because you're going to have to spend your own money on your, you know, on your own professional development and resources and all of that stuff. But I think it's up to educators at this point. Who cares what your district wants you to do? Do your own research. Look at the science of reading. Look at structured literacy. Learn about it. Know it inside and out. It's really not as complicated as you think. I promise it's really not. It seems overwhelming at first. And then once you really like get into the nitty gritty of it and you start teaching it and you're like, this is the most simple way I could ever teach reading and writing in my entire life. If you have to buy resources, buy resources. I know that at the end of the year, most of the time, principals are like, what do you need? I have extra money. Go ask them for science of reading resources. I know some principals are weird and they're like, I won't spend it on TPT. Oh my goodness. But anyways, do what you can to try to get it from your principal. Do what you can to learn for yourself, because this really is a problem that I think that the boots on the ground people can fix, which is our educators. And you're going to have to do it with your own initiative, with your own motivation, and probably with your own money. And that freaking sucks. And I get it. But I feel like that's the only way out of this. Who cares what the top wants you to do? You do it. Because it's what's best for the kids. And I can promise you that is true. I worked at a district where we started implementing the science of reading, structured literacy. We were a Title I school. We had a high percentage of ESL kids, and we were number one in the state of Utah in reading scores simply because of what we were doing in K-3. You have to do something if you're an educator. You do. And if you're a parent and your school is not properly teaching your kid how to read, do something. This is going to be on you, which sucks. I get it. This is like the most important shift in our history, where we have the ability to teach kids how to read effectively and write effectively, and we're not doing it. So if you're a parent, do something about it. And I do have a course that teaches all of the things that I am talking about right now, which is how to effectively teach reading and writing for grades K-3. Talk about phonics. I talk about oral language. I talk about vocabulary, because you're probably teaching vocabulary wrong. I talk about reading comprehension. I talk about writing. I talk about every single part of the science of reading and structured literacy, and I provide you with a map on how to do it. So this is what I'm urging you to do as an educator, as a parent. You need to make sure that you are doing your due diligence, because it is so important. That is honestly all I have for today. But I just thought it was the most ridiculous thing that I'd ever heard, that they said, we're not going to put it in the budget because I guess it's not on their importance list of important things, is not to teach the kids to read. Apparently 33% proficiency is totally fine with them. We still have a long road to go. So it's up to the individual. You can't rely on a system. The system has proven again and again, they are not one to rely on. You have to do your own due diligence. That's all I have for you today. If you liked this podcast, share it with someone else. Give it a like. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to my channel. I would love to grow this community and discuss all things education, all things literacy, and all things learning. We will see you next time.